out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 19th of February 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we're going to go on a little trip around the world today. The first news story we've got comes from Britain, then we're going to head to America, and finally we're going to end up in Nigeria. Well, the Duchess of Sussex, Meghan Markle, has been in the news again and basically criticising the British university system for not having enough black professors in it. And just as an aside, if you look at the recent pictures of her, you can see that she is suffering from the skin complaints that are all too common among mixed race generations. In actual fact, just about every mixed race generation has skin problems at one time or another. It's one of the penalties you get for mixing the races. And you can really tell that she's trying to cover this up with a lot of makeup at the moment. Anyway, that's an aside. Let's get into this news story here. The Duchess of Sussex has shown her support for a campaign by black academics and students that aims to decolonise university curriculum in the UK. It has emerged. How can white people in Britain colonise their own university curriculum? It's blacks that are attempting to colonise our curriculum. It's not us that have colonised it. And when they say they are trying to decolonise it, they actually mean the opposite. They're trying to set up black enclaves in it, regardless of the fact of whether they're actually capable of doing the work or not. It is the 37-year-old's first apparently political intervention since she became part of the royal family, marrying Prince Harry last May. And the royal family are not supposed to get involved in politics in any way whatsoever. And that's all she's done since she's married him is promote feminism and promote anti-racism and show that her loyalties, obviously, are to her race and not to the British people. She's supposed to now be, I guess, a British citizen since she has married Prince Harry. She's part of the royal family. And her loyalties aren't to the royal family, her loyalties are to her race, which is just natural. All of us should have loyalties to our race. And it's only white people that are told that it's somehow a bad thing to be loyal to your race. It's racist to put your own people first. But that's what she's doing. The movement aims to confront the legacies of the empire and racism on campuses and promotes black and female thinkers instead of pale, male, and stale ones. We're just not vibrant enough, the people that invented education and invented universities and invented writing. We're just too boring for the Negroes among us. It has now emerged that during her January visit at City University of London in Islington, Meghan encouraged scholars to open up the conversation about curriculum in our universities and also reacted with shock at figures showing the misrepresentation of ethnicity in professor positions in universities. How can it be a misrepresentation if it's accurate figures? Is it accurate figures or is it not? If there had been diversity quotas, I would say that would be a misrepresentation of ethnicity, because then you would have people in professor positions that are only there because of their race or their gender, not because of their achievements. The campaign she is backing has been a controversial movement since students took to the streets of Oxford in 2016 in an effort to have the statue of Cecil Rhodes, the 19th century colonialist, removed from one of Oxford University's colleges. It followed a similar Rhodes Must Fall movement in South Africa, which succeeded in having a statue of Rhodes removed from the University of Cape Town, a university that he probably founded. And a lot of the people that were actually involved in this were on Rhodes scholarships. It was Cecil Rhodes that put the money into a trust fund to enable blacks, and in fact anybody, because he was a universalist, he was a globalist, to allow anybody that showed that they had the ability to go to university. And these blacks that have been had their university courses paid for by his trust fund then repay him by trying to get his statues pulled down and remove him from Oxford University. If it wasn't for colonialism, none of these blacks would be able to read or write, let alone go to school and go to university. This is the mentality of them. They just want to destroy things, even things that have helped them. They will want to destroy. You can give them beautiful new council houses, and they'll still end up burning them down. The South Africans, the white South Africans, built them schools, built them villages, built them hospitals. And what did they do? They just burned them all down and demanded to be taught about famous Africans and demanded to be taught in African. And there was no written language in African. There was no history that they could be taught. So they just burnt the place down because that's what they do. They destroy things. They don't create. In January, in her new role as patron of the Association of Commonwealth Universities International Organization, the Duchess expressed her surprise at the shockingly low figures of diversity in UK professors. Why would anybody be surprised that there weren't many black professors in a country that was 99% white up until about 50 years ago? Why would you expect there to be black professors? And if you know the average IQ of Negroes, you wouldn't expect to see any black professors at all. Upon being handed a sheet of data showing that UK professors are overwhelmingly white men, the Duchess reportedly said, "Oh my God." The Duchess blasphemed. Dr. Rachel Cohen, who supports ethnic minority and female staff at Manchester University, said, "She was really surprised. She was like, oh my God, really, we need to get a photograph of this." And this woman is an anti-racist activist. She's a feminist. She must be really annoying the other members of the royal family, I would have thought. The Duchess also reportedly turned to her private secretary, Amy Pickering, and asked her to take a picture of the data relating to 2016-2017. Megan said universities should open a debate in a bid to avoid continuing with the Daily Rote, because sometimes that approach can be really antiquated and needs an update. I mean, are the universities getting low scores or something? Do they need to change things in order to get more students with higher marks? Well, we already know that the students that are most likely to get the higher marks are being driven away from the universities in a bid to diversify them. We know that they're now talking about changing some of the courses, English Classics course, because it doesn't have enough Negroes in it. And now she's saying that they need to have more black professors simply because they're black. Research from Advance HE revealed 68% of UK professors were white males, 23% white females, 6.5% black and minority ethnic male, and 2% black and minority ethnic female, which is what you would expect. If they make up 15% of the population and only half of them are likely to get the top marks, which we learned the other day. Whites, it's about 89% that are likely to get top marks, and blacks, it's 56%. So if only half of them are going to get top marks and their portion of the population is 15%, then you would expect there to be 7.5% of black and minority ethnic professors. And it tells us here that there are 6.5% black males and 2% black females. So that's 8.5%. So that is in actual fact 1% more than you would expect from looking at the statistics. But for her, this is horrific. This is cause for blaspheming and taking photographs and making a fuss about it. Meera Sabaratnam, leading the working party to decolonise the curriculum at SOAS, University of London, and whose data inspired Meghan's "Oh my God" comment, agreed that change is long overdue. But if there's no such thing as race, why does it matter what race the professors are? Are they getting bad exam results? No, there's nothing that says that they're getting bad exam results. So why would you want to change it? She told the Sunday Times, many of the issues around racial equality are similar, and it is great to see her embrace this. Change is long overdue. The reaction of the Duchess to the lack of diversity among scholars may be due in part to her upbringing and her impactful and pivotal experience in university in the US. African-American authors are widely studied in US universities, and statistics on the ethnic profiles of students and staff are published on university websites. Meera Sabaratnam said, US universities have a legacy of affirmative action. Now, that is not a positive thing, is it? It means that in order to get African-American authors widely studied, and in order to proudly show these statistics of the ethnic profiles, they've had to put blacks in there simply because they're black, not because they have achieved any academic excellence, which is why Britain has a better reputation for education than America does. And all that does is bring down the level of education. And as we see, the level of education is rapidly being brought down in Britain too. Meghan graduated from Northwestern University, Illinois, with a joint Bachelor of Arts degrees in Theatre and International Relations in 2003. So playing at being somebody else and international relations. I mean, this girl obviously had high aspirations. It's no wonder that her father was pretty much turned into a pauper, paying for her to go to all these acting classes. In October, the Duchess was praised for giving a powerful speech on feminism and women's suffrage in New Zealand on the 125th anniversary of women achieving the right to vote in the country. What is she doing giving speeches on feminism and women's suffrage when she's supposed to be an advocate for Britain? That's what she's paid for. She's paid to be an advocate for Britain, not to be an advocate for feminism. She should be bigging up our education system, not saying that it needs to be decolonised. In her last display of political concern, Meghan spoke about economic and social development and the rights of women in developing countries. She said everyone should be afforded the opportunity to receive the education they want, but more importantly, the education they have the right to receive. Everybody doesn't have a right to receive education. If you have never built a society and you've never built universities and you've never come up with the idea of reading and writing, where do you get the idea from that you have a right to be educated? Where does the third world get this idea from that it has a right for anything when they never came up with the idea of rights for people? It's not in their mentality to come up with these ideas, and yet they've just been gifted this, and she just assumes that everybody has a right to be educated. She says, for women and girls in developing countries, this is vital. Providing them with access to education is the key to economic and social development. Well, it doesn't look like it really, does it? When you look at these African countries where they've been promoting education and in India as well, they're still just as poor as ever. There's still just as much violence going on, just as much social problems. It's just that now you've got the men and the women fighting it against one another. And the men are very annoyed that the women are expecting to just be given everything without actually having any duties. They claim they have all these rights, but they don't, and they think it's not their duty anymore to bring up the children, look after the husband's home while he's out working. And of course, they don't have to work down the mines themselves. They don't have to do all the hard work that the men do to keep the economy going. So it hasn't helped them at all. In actual fact, it's just upset their countries, upset their traditions. Just look at the problems that India has in particular with feminism now. And also the promotion of pornography over there has massively increased the amount of rapes. India used to have a 99.9% success rate with marriage. And that is very, very rapidly now falling apart because feminism has been promoted over there. Feminism is just a weapon against the family. Well, let's move over to America. I said we'd have a look at what's happening in America. And this is a particularly shocking news article. I'm only going to read a part of it. It's basically about the dreadful state that America is now in with open drug use in the cities, lots of homeless people everywhere, rats everywhere. And this particular news story is about public defecation. And if you are into public defecation, you'll be very happy to learn that Denver has just made it legal to crap in the streets. Why would any modern civilized state or country make it legal to crap in the streets, I wonder? First, the obvious. The Denver City Council has voted unanimously to decriminalize a number of offenses, including defecating in public, also urinating in public, camping on public or private land without permission, panhandling, and lying across public rights of way, such as sidewalks. Democrat Mayor Michael Hancock and city officials explained that the new ordinances are designed to protect immigrants, legal and illegal, from unintended consequences. These consequences were fines and longer jail terms, as has been customary in most places for violating the behavioral norms of civilized American society. So they don't think that non-whites should actually be prosecuted for this kind of behavior, for behaving like animals, fouling up the streets. Too many of them were being prosecuted for this. I guess it must be a racist law if 99.9% of the people prosecuted for it are black, that it must be racist and we must get rid of it. Like the laws that say that people shouldn't jump the ticket stiles on the subway in America. They've stopped that being against the law now because that was racist, because it was always blacks that were getting arrested for it. It's almost like the anti-stabbing laws that we have in Britain, because on the gang matrix, all the people that are listed on the gang matrix are black. Sadiq Khan wants to get rid of it because it's racist. So they've got rid of this law to stop people crapping in the streets because it's racist. If only America's founders could see us now, they would be so proud. Speaking of public defecation, San Francisco has become world famous for the piles of human poop that constantly litter their streets. During one 7-day stretch last summer, a total of 16,000 official complaints were submitted to the city about human feces. 16,000 complaints in one day about shit on the streets. San Francisco's streets are so filthy that at least one infectious disease expert has compared the city to some of the dirtiest slums in the world. And that's in America, that's in the first world. Why is San Francisco full of crap on the streets? Well, there's only one reason for it, and that's because it's a multicultural city. That's the reason for it. The NBC Bay Area Investigative Unit surveyed 153 blocks of the city in February, finding giant mounds of trash and food on the majority of streets, at least 100 discarded needles, and more than 300 piles of human feces were also found in downtown San Francisco, according to the report. I will say, there is more feces on the sidewalks than I've ever seen growing up here, said San Francisco's new mayor, London Breed, last year. We have to make sure people who live here, and sadly people who are homeless here, that they are also held accountable for taking care of our streets. This is our home. So they're obviously taking a different approach to this. In San Francisco, they're going to punish people for doing it, and they say that people should take care of the area that they're living in, and they shouldn't crap in the streets. And in Denver, they're saying, oh no, we're just going to let them do it. We'll just do away with this law. So why is it that people are now crapping in the streets? Or as we did a whole program on sanitation and sewage the other week, and we went around the world and we looked at these various areas that have people that are out there crapping in the streets. And I said that this is because it's a traditional thing. Even if you provide them with toilet facilities, they won't use them. And I found an article here which is actually talking about Nigeria and the reasons why people do this. Because you would think if they had toilets available, they would use them. I mean, you can't say that there aren't any public toilets in Denver. There aren't any shops with toilets in them. You can't say there are no toilets in San Francisco. So why are people crapping on the streets? The common act of pooping has earned Nigeria the rating as the country with the largest number of people that defecate in the open in Africa and the second largest globally after India. And in India, they've got a big drive on at the moment to get people to use toilets. They've built hundreds of thousands of new toilets in India, and the Indians are just refusing to use them. They've got special police patrols that are going around in the early hours of the morning. And if they see any Indians walking out with a pail of water, they know that they're going off to have a crap, and they knock the water over and they try to shame them. But it's not working. They're still all crapping in the fields and refusing to use the toilets that have been built for them. And it's the same in Nigeria. From the backyard of an average compound in Nigeria to public places such as railways, motor parks, airport terminal buildings, filling stations, footpaths, highways, street roads, playing grounds, prayer houses, forests and stadiums, there is feces everywhere. And I would hazard a guess that that is what San Francisco is now getting like. As it becomes more diverse, it will look more and more like Lagos. It is common to see people selling foods, sleeping, eating and drinking beside human feces in Lagos and across the 36 states of the Federation, according to the 2018 National Outcome Routine Mapping NORM report. 47 million Nigerians defecate in the open, while the country loses 455 billion or 1.3 billion US dollars annually due to poor sanitation. Several questions have been raised on why so many Nigerians engage in open defecation. Sadly, there seems to be no definite answer to these questions. While some claimed that open-air defecation is due to poverty and lack of government support in providing toilet facilities, I would say that's just white people that say that this is down to poverty and lack of government support, because we project our own values onto these Negroes and we think, well, there's no reason why we wouldn't use a toilet. It has to be poverty. It has to be lack of government support. And of course, it's not. And if you ask them, they will say that it's not. In cases where the facilities are available, people still end up defecating in the open. A case in point is Mr. Emeka Agwiuni, who told the Sunday Vanguard that even with his education, he just cannot quit doing it in the bush. I cannot afford to do it in a small room always, he said. I don't enjoy using the toilet in Lagos. This is why any time I am in the village, I feel free doing it in the bush, Agwayuni said. So he's saying it's unnatural for them to use the toilet. It's unnatural for them to do that. It's much more natural for them to do it outside, like the birds and the beasts. Like Emeka, many people claimed doing it in the open gives them a kind of fulfillment, freedom, and joy. Others do it due to cultural beliefs, such as it is forbidden to share toilets with women of reproductive age. Now, I think this the bit where it says there about the fulfillment, freedom, and joy. That really gives us a clue as to what's going on here. It's not to do with poverty. It's not to do with there not being enough toilets. It's to do with that is their natural instinct is to do that. The white man's natural instinct is to get that stuff away from us. We build incredibly technical ways, and we dig tunnels, we dig canals, we put troughs up there. We do all that we can to cleanly remove this waste away from our living areas, and then we process it so that it doesn't pollute the landscape. And we've done that for thousands of years. And the Negroes don't do that because they just poop it out and forget about it, just like an animal. And this is animal behavior. And then you've got Meghan Markle wondering why these people aren't professors in our universities. And all the evidence that we see shows us that there's no reason why these people ever would be in universities. They are little more than animals when you look at their behavior. And you can draw another contrast with this. I mean, we've got this big story on at the moment with this Shamima Begum, who's saying that she wants to come back to Britain, and she's not shocked by these heads in a basket. She's not really shocked by kids being blown up in Manchester, and all the white people are saying, well, this just shows that she's been brainwashed. This shows that she's been groomed. And no, it doesn't. This is the sort of reaction you would expect from blacks to have to this sort of thing. They don't think like us. We have to stop projecting our own sensibilities onto these other races because they tell us that they don't think like that. Their actions show us that they don't think like us, and yet we continue to push this idea that they are exactly the same as us. I mean, a lot of the news stories that we feature here at Radio Erin, they're just showing the truth. And these news stories come from the mainstream media, and yet the mainstream media refuses to accept the evidence in front of their very eyes and tell us the opposite. And anyone with eyes to see and ears to hear can see the truth, can see the truth. We can see who is carrying out all the violence. We can see the reason why San Francisco is filled with crap. It's because it's filled with Negroes. And I've mentioned Nigeria here. I've mentioned India. I dare say South America is the same. I dare say that the mestizos, they like crapping everywhere. As we mentioned last week, China, that's another place that is just full of human feces. These people, they are not clean, and they bring these disgusting habits into our countries. And that's not a racist thing to say. In Denver, they've now had to change the law because there is so much crap on the sidewalk. And they've specifically said the reason they are changing the law is because it's affecting immigrants, both legal ones and illegal ones. So the ones that do come here legally, the ones that do have visas, the ones that Donald Trump wants to welcome into America and Sajid Javid wants to welcome into Britain, they do it just as much as the illegal ones do. I mean, there are countless pictures that I can remember seeing and news stories that I can remember seeing of it happening outside schools, in shopping centres in Britain, in Ireland, where these Negroes just crap there, right in the middle of the street. And there'll be people that are filming it on their cameras, laughing. And these Negroes and the non-whites, they don't see what's wrong with doing that. They don't see what's wrong with doing that. The way they look at it is, oh, well, everybody has to have a crap. Or all the animals have to have a crap as well. But we are separate to the animals. We don't live like the animals. The white man doesn't have to live like an animal. We can rise above that. And that's what we've done with our civilizations. And they are being dragged back out there into the jungles and the deserts and the cesspits of the third world by bringing these people into our countries. This is madness, changing the law to allow them to crap on the sidewalk because it penalizes them to prevent them from doing that. What other laws are they going to change now? Are they going to say that because there are so many muggings and so many blacks and non-whites get arrested for mugging, well, we'll have to change the law on that, make it legal to allow that? I mean, this is the sort of craziness, the sort of lengths that you have to go to try and hold a multicultural society together, because it just constantly wants to break apart at the seams. Eventually, we're going to end up using every single resource that we have in trying to keep this unnatural system together as it constantly strives to pull itself apart and the people strive to separate themselves. And you can say, or the leftists will say, ah, yes, but most people aren't racist. Most white people aren't racist. They don't mind the diversity. Well, they may say that, but their instincts show different. Their instincts show that they leave the areas that are filled with blacks. Otherwise, London wouldn't be 60% non-white and 40% white if that was true. The natural instinct is to separate yourself from diversity and live with your own people. And there is nothing wrong with that. They might want to call it racism. Who cares? There is nothing wrong with wanting to be with your own people, with your own family, and your race and nation is just your extended family. Okay, thank you very much for listening today. I hope you weren't eating while we were discussing that. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.